press record, I have to give this statement too. The key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote better understanding of the role of the American chestnut. Have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now we're set. You want to start? Tell us who you are, where you're from, any sort of background information on
you. Okay, my name is Jamie Donalds. I live in Lunenburg, Massachusetts. I grew up just outside of Boston. And I first heard about the American chestnut when I was 13 years old, and I was at a summer camp called Berkshire Boys Camp, which is no longer there in the metropolis in the Berkshires of East Otis, Massachusetts. And we did a lot of hiking of the Appalachian Trail up and down into Connecticut, up into Vermont. And during that summer, we'd do long 13 or 15-mile hikes over a couple of days, which was a lot for 13-year-olds. And we'd get to the crest of a certain hill, and we were taking a water break, which sometimes it felt like a forced march, but that's another story. And our camp counselor was telling us about, you know, give us a little botany lesson about plants and, you know, how things worked, and there's, you know, just pointing things out. And I was sitting next to a bush, and I asked him about, well, what's this bush? And the look in his face was kind of sad, and he said, it's not a bush. And he started telling me the story of how it used to be the biggest tree in the forest and what happened. And some things, I think, mark you for life. You never forget. So 30 years go by. I'm engaged, and I'm buying a piece of land with my wife up in Lunenburg. And I'm sitting and talking to my father-in-law, who's a 85-year-old cabinet maker. And he brought up American chestnut. We started talking about it, and he reminded me of how inspiring that story was. And having just bought 22 acres of property, I said, you know, I'm going to do something about this. And it certainly was a whole lot easier once I found the foundation. I said, well, I don't have to do it alone. That's much, much better. So So I searched out and showed up at an annual meeting in 2002 and said, I want a chestnut orchard. And they said, well, step right up, have a seat. So I've helped the foundation in the last 5 years plant 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 trees and become the president of the chapter. So.
Can you go back to that moment up there on the mountain with your scout leader?
My camp counselor.
Or camp counselor. Obviously, we all know what happened, but do you remember how he told the story?
The way I remember it, and I think he had some inaccuracies, but he told it as that it used to be the biggest tree in the forest, and they all are attacked by a blight that was brought from Asia, and if you could find one that was perfectly, you know, healthy in the wild, fully grown, it would be very valuable, mm-hmm. You know, and I thought about that the entire, you know, I hiked another 8 miles that day, and, you know, I thought about that practically every step, about that night. Remember, I forgot what the tree looked like. I forgot even the name of it over time, but just the overall story stuck with me. I didn't, and, you know, I couldn't find, 5 years ago, I couldn't on a bet find chestnut in the woods. Now that's all I see when I walk in the woods, you know, so. So he told it, there was, you know, the thing I remember is telling me how valuable it would be and the kind of sad look on his face.
Wow. Two things that a boy that age would really respond to.
Yeah, that was...
Probably unknowingly, he got it just right, huh?
Yeah, it's a lesson for me that we don't know the impact we have, you know, if he was trying to inspire me to do something about it. You may have thought he failed, but, you know, 30 years later, you know, here I am sitting in Chattanooga because of it, so.
Well, another thing we've been asking folks is, do you have, like, since about the future of the organization and where we are. Are there any concerns you have or hopes, things that are particularly hopeful or things that are kind of a fear about where we're going with the organization and the whole program?
The biggest challenge, you know, I think of it as a chapter president. The biggest challenge that I have is the national, you know, people are very generous at a state level and a national level, although the focus is so much on money and getting money in. We're doing okay. The biggest challenge is having people join and be active. I think that's true about every chapter. There's a small core. We have, you know, almost 500 people active in Massachusetts, but the core of people that are actually on the ground doing work is small, is maybe 50. And so we try to get the most out of the people we have, you know, use that money as a leverage to be the most effective we can. So the biggest issue is having people involved and getting people on the ground who are willing to do, to be inspired and do the work. So that's the biggest challenge. The work for right now, you know, we're finished up planting 28 orchards. The next step is to start, as the orchards become mature and mature enough to select, that they are injected with blight and they're inoculated and graded and it's documented, and all of that work to select all the trees we've planted for the next generation. And the other piece is figuring out how in Massachusetts we're going to plant 9 acres of chestnut trees with volunteers.
Wow.
That's daunting.
Clearly you were very inspired from a very young age, and you said the problem now at the organizational level is how to inspire volunteers. So given how you were inspired, so well, what do you do as Jeff President to inspire people? Do you use the same methods? Are you telling stories? What are you doing?
It's an easy story for people to buy into, and you know, I've asked people to become members and come to a chapter meeting. It's like one out of five people who joins becomes active. So
sounds like a pretty good.
It's not bad, but it's my main concern is I have a really talented group of people with a broad background who have experience in lots of different areas that make our chapter very sound. But my biggest worry is burning them out, and I don't want to abuse their dedication. I'd rather do things to keep inspiring them and make them more effective. So, I've the people I have working with me, I don't need to inspire anymore. Although I try to, it's getting new people involved and getting a strong ongoing, you know, group of people and holding on to who we have for members. Those are my biggest. That's spoken like a chapter president, not right. Like.
I'm afraid you have no choice but to speak like.
Pretty much right now, yeah. That's pretty much where I'm at.
Are there any other stories or memories that other people have told you over the years or in the time that you've been TSCF, or any stories about the organization that stick out in your mind?
I've heard a lot of stories, hardly any, I'm sure some of them aren't true.
That's okay. We'd like to hear those.
Nothing that's cohesive in my head that I can hand to you.
Okay.
You know.
Was there anything else you want to get out there?
I'm good. I think that's it.
Okay. Well, really.